Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. God has a vast multitude of angels doing His bidding both in heaven and on earth. When He wanted to communicate an important message, He would send what the Bible calls the angel of the Lord. Today, more about how this angel fits into the Christmas story. Stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Pastor Lutzer now continues a three-part series on the angels of Christmas. Now, more of the angel of the Lord.
And Jesus came, the Bible says, to deliver His people from their sins. The angel of the Lord delivered people in the Old Testament. Jesus delivers them in the New Testament, because I shall say it one more time, He is the angel of the Lord, performing essentially the very same ministries. Now, if you've been following this, and I know you have been, I'm a man of faith. If you've been following this, then naturally a question arises. If Jesus was doing all of these things in the Old Testament times as the angel of the Lord, why Bethlehem? Why the incarnation? Why is it that God became flesh and tabernacled among us? Why didn't Jesus just keep doing what He'd been doing, blessing us, delivering us, helping us? The reason is because there are some things that the angel of the Lord could never possibly do unless the angel of the Lord became flesh. Very quickly, let me give you five things that the angel of the Lord could never have done if he had not taken on human flesh. First of all, he could not be our Savior. He could not be our Savior. You say, why? Because you cannot take the angel of the Lord and nail him to a cross. You can't nail a spirit to a cross. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. So if God was going to have a sacrifice that He was going to accept, namely the sacrifice that He Himself demanded, which is the heart of Christianity, God demands a sacrifice and then He provides the sacrifice that He demands. If He's going to do this, He needs a body that can be nailed to the cross and a body with blood. And the angel of the Lord didn't have one as the angel of the Lord. So that angel of the Lord became flesh so that we could be redeemed, so that we could have someone today who died for us. And the Bible is very clear that He died for sinners. And because of that, you and I could be reconciled to God. That's good news if you're a sinner. If you're not a sinner, then of course it doesn't really apply. Did I ever tell you about that somewhat self-assured lady that I was sitting next to on a plane, and she really thought that she didn't need Jesus, really? I mean, she believed in Him, but she didn't think that she needed to accept Him as Savior. And I said to her, would you consider yourself ungodly? And she was quite offended. I wanted that response from her. I thought I was going to get it, and I did. She said, well, no. She says, I'm not ungodly. And I said, you know, that's too bad, because then Jesus didn't die for you. It's too bad. Because the Bible says Jesus died for the ungodly. I'm ungodly, so I'm glad that Jesus died for me. So one thing that Jesus could not have done as the angel of the Lord is He couldn't have been a Savior. Secondly, He couldn't have been our brother. You say, well, why is that important? Because the whole business of inheritance has to do with family. That's why it's important. You see, the scripture says that we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. When the will of the universe is going to be opened and read, it's going to apply to us because we're going to inherit all of the same things that our brother Jesus inherits. The Bible says you shall inherit all things. And it's because we're part of the family. You see, angels, and now I'm talking about those many angels that we're going to be talking about in the next sermons, those angels can never possibly be heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Have you ever thought to yourself that you'd like to be an angel? Travel with swiftness and speed? Not have to go through security checks at O'Hare Airport? Not have to wait in line? Just zip through and decide that you want to be in Japan and then say the word and suddenly you discover that you're flying at huge speeds and you end up in Japan. Wouldn't that be wonderful to be an angel? And we should be thankful for angels, but listen carefully. I don't want to offend the angels that are listening because the Bible does say that angels are here watching our service. But I would not trade places for any angel, including Michael or Gabriel, honored though they are. Because no angel will ever be an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. No angel will ever be exalted to that privilege because no angel can ever possibly be a brother to Jesus. So Jesus is our brother. God is our Father. That could have never happened apart from Bethlehem. Third, Jesus could not have been the king of David over David's territory. Just like we're going to be looking at next week when Gabriel comes and says, he shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. In order for that to happen, he had to be of the lineage and the household of David. And to be that, he had to become a man. And so that's why God took on human flesh. Also, he could not be our high priest in the sense that he is. Yes, in the Old Testament, the angel of the Lord, as we noticed, intercedes for the people of God. But the angel of the Lord, as the angel, could not say what could be said of Jesus after the incarnation, when it says that we have a high priest who can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities because he was in all points tempted like as we are. That could not have been said apart from God becoming flesh at Bethlehem. And then, of course, finally, Jesus, the angel of the Lord, could not have said, the angel of the Lord could not have said that he had conquered death unless he had died. The angel of the Lord, as the angel of the Lord, would never possibly die, of course. In order for there to be death, there had to be humanity. And that's why when Jesus came to this earth, he assumed human form. He was 100% God, 100% man. And he did that so that he could die as the God-man and later on say, I am he who lives and was dead and am alive forevermore. Amen. And that's what Jesus was able to say as a result of coming to Bethlehem. Do you understand now why the incarnation, that is the coming of God in flesh, is absolutely central to everything that we believe, everything that we love, everything in which our faith is placed? It is the hub of Christianity. And it's not a myth. If it's a myth, then I'm myth-taken and mithrable. It actually happened in space and time. How does this apply to you? There's a story that comes to us from ancient Russia during the days of the Tsars, and was the time when Nicholas was the Tsar. And Nicholas was friends to a man who had a son, and because of that friendship, the son was given the very important responsibility of doling out money to the soldiers, and to do so regularly. They didn't have checks. They didn't have it electronically put in their banks in those days. Had to be given out personally. And the son had that responsibility, but he also had a gambling habit, so he gambled a lot of the money away, and he knew that he could not pay the debt. Well, the story is that he knew that Nicholas was going to come and observe the men in the barracks, and that he would hear about what this young guy had done. So he took the ledger and he wrote out all that he needed and the amount that was missing, and he decided that he would take a nap and maybe at midnight blow out his brains, because there was no way that he could pay. And on the piece of paper he wrote the amount, and then under it he wrote, "Who can pay?" question mark. The story is that Nicholas himself did show up, saw the situation, and wrote one word under the question. He wrote the word Nicholas. When the young man woke up, he didn't believe that it was the signature of the czar, but he checked it because they kept it on file, and he discovered that the czar was going to cover the payment. And the next day, from the czar's office, money came for the soldiers. The young man's debt was covered. As you look into your life today, who can pay? Who can pay for our sin? Who can make up? Who can make it up? We can't. But Jesus became one of us. He died, the just one, for those of us who are unjust, to bring us to God. And because of the incarnation, he's qualified to do just that. Have you received him? Have you accepted what he has done on your behalf? Have you bowed your head and thanked him for the birth in Bethlehem? Thanked him that the angel of the Lord became one of us to redeem us forever.
Well, my friend, this not only is the message of Christmas, it should be on our lips and on our hearts throughout the whole year. And we're so thankful for the many of you who invest in this ministry. If you've been blessed, it's because of other people just like you saying to themselves, "We want to join hands with Running to Win so that together we can run toward the finish line." Now, even as you contemplate Christmas, we have a very special gift for you. For a gift of any amount, you can receive a daily devotional entitled Running to Win, and it is authored by me, but also by Dwight L. Moody. Each day you'll be given a verse of Scripture. You will also be encouraged at the end to pray and to act on what you have just learned. I want to thank you in advance for helping us, and this is our thank you gift to you, because even as we anticipate the new year, it is with the hope that we can continue to expand this ministry and continue to get the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world.
Today, Pastor Erwin Lutzer continued a three-part series on the angels of Christmas. For the most part, angels are anonymous. Only two have names we see in the Bible. One of them was Gabriel, who told Mary that she would bear the Christ child. Next time on Running to Win, we'll meet this famous angel and see what he had to say. We'd like you to have a brand new daily devotional in time for the new year. It's called simply Running to Win and has one verse per day with comments from both Pastor Lutzer as well as D.L. Moody. It's yours as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. For details, call 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.